It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from Freedom's, with an S, freedomsphoenix.com studios. And I, you know, one thing I want to make sure that we get to talk about, you know, we had the weekend, and we had fun on the weekend. We relaxed on the weekend. We had a lot of stuff on the weekend. We had tea parties on the weekend. You know, September 11th on Friday, and then tea parties, and how might they go together? And then we had a big, giant, humongous, major, substantially adequate gun show here in Phoenix on the weekend. So there's a lot to talk about that. Now, I wanna preface this a little bit. And see, I got just a few minutes here in the first segment, and I just want to let you know from my perspective, you know, what I was looking for. You have, I've been around long enough. You know, I mean, I don't know how long it takes. I mean, if you're really paying attention, you know, it takes about three election cycles. And that's, you know, I tell you, 2008, that was when the younger generation, I mean, they were paying attention. And they got a big, giant dose of, are you kidding me? You know, this is really how this thing works. They gobbledygook, you know, lie, propagandize, BS out this end. And it has the effect over here for, I mean, you know, how long? And then you get in the next election cycle, and they forget everything, you know, the bad guy said over here, and they go, oh, he's our bad guy. You know, we're going to vote for him. You know, these guys are – it's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it takes you about three election cycles to really – I mean, you're big, giant suspect first election. You go to the second election cycle, you're like, you know, that, yeah, we'll see. I mean, is that, you know, an aberration, or is that just the way it is? Second, yeah, pretty much. And then you go, well, we'll do it a little differently on the third one, and then you start to get it. After three election cycles, it takes, you know, what is that, 6 years? You just go, I get it. Okay, so how can we play with this thing? How can we use it? How can we free minds? What if your goal was to bring about freedom? How would you do that? Well, the first thing is you free minds. I mean, people just know what the heck's going on. You know, a lot of the other stuff's just side effect of that. So how do we do that? I got invited to go to Prescott, Arizona. They people up there always call it Prescott, you know. Prescott, Arizona, because I don't know why. So you go to Prescott, Arizona, and I've been there since the early 70s. You know, I go up there on a regular basis. My sister lives there. She's a waitress in a popular restaurant there, been for a long time. Everybody knows Rhonda, okay? Well, it's her brother comes to town, going to speak at the Central Square. They have – it's like Back to the Future. I mean, it's just like Back to the Future, the clock tower, square, so on. If you go on Freedom's Phoenix, or you go to this show's archive at the top of Freedom's Phoenix, you'll go in there and you'll see the link to the YouTubes that – you know, of me speaking, and you get kind of in the beginning of the first segment, you'll see the crowds. And let me describe it to you, and it's pretty much what you saw in Washington, D.C., or here down in Phoenix at the Capitol the next day. It's primarily this. I'll paint the picture for you. Republican. You know, Republican. But, you know, what kind? You know, what's the age? What's the average, you know, mentality? I mean, what's the attitude? What are they looking for? You know, who is playing to them? Who is organizing it? You know, why? You know, who are the speakers? We'll talk about it here in a little bit and give you a bead on how this whole thing is going to dovetail into the 2010 election. What to watch for. We'll be right back on Declare Your Independence.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah! Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time from Freedoms, with an S, freedomsphoenix.com studios here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, it's getting cooler. Cool. But, you know, this last week, we're going to take the boat out. Everybody get the boat. Yeah, all you guys don't want to do is Tuesday and Wednesday, you know, I'm going out both days and trying, you know, how many people we can go out and, you know, partay. You know, you go out way in Canyon Lake. It's like a lake. It has a canyon. I mean, it's like in, you know, cartoons, man. You got like a river and this big giant, you know, for 7 miles, you're in this canyon. Vertical cliffs go hundreds of feet up. Very, very cool. And if you go slow, I've done it in a canoe with electric motor. You go really slow and you see all the animals. You know, you got bighorn sheep and eagles and lizards and on the wall right over there. You can just go touch them, you know. Well, you know, they won't let you. But, you know, you get really close. Very cool. You know, you have a trip. You come to Arizona. You do that. Man, you got a dose of Arizona. Let me tell you another dose of Arizona. Prescott is used to be the state capital of Arizona. You know, back in the olden days. Okay. Prescott was like, you know, the center of the universe here. What happened was... In Phoenix, you had Wickenburg, northwest of Phoenix, is an old silver mining town and so on. I think they did gold, too, and so on. But that was where the major populations were. Phoenix was freaking in the middle of the, oh, my goodness, you die desert. Desert. It's hot. It's really hot. Well, they had the Salt River that went through here. And, of course, there's wells and such that they contaminated. But the what they did is they put up the Roosevelt Dam. You know, this is like, you know, Depression Project kind of stuff. And that created such an enormous amount of water reservoir that you could pretty much do whatever you want downstream. You know, so we got plenty of water. They'll whine and complain about, oh, the lakes are going down. I go, yeah, they're supposed to when you use the water, you know. So, and this was an amazing feat. I mean, did it with mule trains. You know, it's just phenomenal what was accomplished. But what they did is they created these reservoir systems, lake after lake after lake after lake, that dump into the lake and out of the lake. And it does flood control and so on, too. But they used the old canal system that the Native Americans here had, you know. And what they did is they just dug those canals where they could distribute the water across the valley for agriculture and water treatment plants and so on. And now they recycle the water so much you don't lose as much. But I just assume they flush it all out. You know, all the chemicals and drugs that everybody's got, it keeps getting recycled back in. Man, you start going talking funny, you know. I'm going, wow. Anyway, that's another story. Which we will do, by the way. So what the center population kind of went to Tucson and Phoenix, same reasons. And Phoenix became, you know, the metropolis because of water. Well, Prescott, you know, still maintained that kind of that rural pioneer cowboy and ranch and mountain flavor. And it did, you know, it still does, but not near as much because this is what happened. In the early 70s, when my family first moved here from Florida, my mother's family, the Mormon invasion of Lehi here, Mesa, Arizona, back in the day, and the 50s, they came when there was nothing here, and the whole side of my mother's family, my sister, Mormon. So I got a big giant dose of inside view on that we'll talk about someday. But the point is that you have this this mindset in Prescott that people from the valley would go up there just to do the summer weekend festivals. It's a little bit cooler. It's a higher. It's about, I don't know how high it is. Probably, you know, 4,000 to 6,000. About 5 to mile high. So it's about 5,000 feet. So it's cooler. So what happens, and there's a place called Payson, a little bit more east on the other side of the freeway, you know, probably 80 miles away. And so these small communities around the valley, people go to on the weekends in the summer. They go visit, and a lot of times they have family members that settle and live there. Well, Prescott changed, just like everywhere. People that run this state are developers. It always has been. Has been since the 50s. Cheap desert land. Come to Arizona. Okay. Goldwater's from here. Got a lot of attention. You know, there's a lot of things going on. So they sell this cheap land, and it was big land fraud went on and so on. If you go out in the middle of the desert, just imagine Death Valley, and you grid it out. And you go, yes, we got, you know, Death Valley land for only $500 an acre. Woo, sign me up. Now then what? Well, as time has gone past and technology is different and you have more infrastructure put in, you know, all of a sudden a lot of these little gridded out, already gridded out, you know, it's all there ready to be titled and everything, you know, has some value. So, you know, people start moving in. Well, in Prescott, the invasion came from California. Because Prescott is very much like a lot of portions of California where they left from, and a lot freer, much lower taxes, a lot, you know, cooler lifestyle and so on. But they bring their government with them. And a lot of times they're preceded by government. As you get involved in this, you'll see that there's a plan. I mean, there are people that, you know, they create jobs for themselves and their buddies and their friends, and they just look for a small community to move in and have the city manager, the city attorney, the bureaucrat de la whatever, and parks and recree whatever. You know, and then they start doing, ooh, we got crime, and they do the newspaper and they amp up whatever. Here in Phoenix, we're doing this baseline killer thing. We found out. If you look at the graph, it's a, you know, a chart, and you see the city of Phoenix, its police force, take a guess. How much do you think the percentage of the budget would be the police? I mean, you got parks and rec and library and roads and all the other stuff that cities do. I mean, you know, all kinds of stuff. Police, and you got fire. Police make up 70% of the budget. I couldn't freaking believe it. Are you kidding me? How in the heck are they even able to do that? They're writing a lot of tickets, I guess. I mean, dang. So, you know, this kind of government just comes, it's planned, it's predetermined, it's organized. It's an invasion of government. And they come in all these small communities, and Prescott was not immune. Now, they had a little bit of insulation because they had a guy named Sam Steiger. He was a congressman back in the day and a curmudgeon, kind of Republican, can't finish, you know, kind of guy. And what happened was he ran for governor as a libertarian back in the early 80s. So this guy kind of understood the philosophy. So, you know, he kept, you know, bad guys at bay. He became famous for a couple of things. One of the things was in this square, the city town square that they have, is there was a crosswalk. They put them at the corners, and everybody crossed in the middle of the street all the time to go to one of the municipal buildings and so on. And they're writing tickets, and they're just being a butthead. So Sam goes out there with a bucket of white paint and just painted a crosswalk. And he goes, there, problem solved. Well, you did. He goes, that done. And they finally took it off, and then later it was such an uprising that they put that crosswalk back in. You know, so then he becomes mayor. And he also shot a burro one time. That was a famous thing. They had this burro. It was a mean burro out there biting people and, you know, in some part of town, somebody's land there near town. It was a big thing. What are they going to do with this burro? And so Sam goes out there, boom, problem solved. It's like, you know, really, was it that hard, you know? So to get some attention one time, he was running for office in, I think it was 1990 or 92, or they had some. Oh, yeah, they're doing Borough Chronicles. They was doing their own newspaper. And he goes down and he said, come see Sam Steiger shoot a borough, you know. And they had a big press conference down at the Capitol building. And, of course, everybody went, you know. They go, they just weren't, they could not be there. You know, they knew he wasn't going to, but they just couldn't not go. You know what I mean? You know, it's just so he was interesting. Well, he had a stroke a few years back, and now he's, you know, able to function. He's in a nursing home, and it's sad. But it's we have some colorful people here, and Prescott has been a big part of our history. And it's kind of representative of Arizona, the mindset. Jet's mother lives up there. He goes up there in a week. He went this last weekend. And when I got it was a long time ago, God, at least 2-3 months ago, they were booking for the big Prescott tea party thing. And they had seen the video of me doing a tea party here at the last one that was done here at the Phoenix Capitol. And they liked what I had to say, and they invited me, would you come speak at Prescott? And, of course, there's always, you know, you're going to have other opportunities and such. And I go, you know, yeah, I want to do that. I want to go to Prescott. Prescott. Got to say Prescott. So I want to go to Prescott. And, you know, see my sister, she's never really seen me address crowds before and so on. And, you know, and my nieces and nephews up there. And I go, okay, let's go do it up. So Don and I planned this. You know, I put it off on the calendar. I don't worry about it. I know I'm going to go up. Well, it's a 9/11 thing. It's a 9/11 memorial on the 8th anniversary of. These guys up there are kind of their Goldwater conservatives, which is kind of like saying, kind of leaning a little bit sort of libertarians with an R after your name. And they're just, you know, definitely wanting less government. So the PrescottTeaParty.com people, you know, they have their four things were limited government, support Constitution and a couple other things, whatever. You know, it's government should be smaller, but we'll still have it, you know, but smaller. So they get the mayor of Prescott speaks, the sheriff up there, Yavapai County, which is a county they're in, speaks, the state legislator that's up there speaks, you know, that kind of thing. So the main, after the memorial, the first speaker that's kind of going to, I don't know, whoop them up or whatever, was that was my turn. So I go, okay. I get up there, and thousands of people. I mean, it's thousands of people. One of the biggest crowds. They were going for a record crowd in Prescott. Dang, man. It was woo-hoo. Now, it's Memorial 9/11, which you would imagine being a Republican thing. Oh, yeah, we honor all the veterans and stand up and pat them on the back and thank you for your service. They even had, you know, fighter trainer jets come over, and, man, they had it going on. It was like a big, giant flag up on the steps of the thing, you know, like Patton, you know, sitting there in front of the big flag kind of deal. So what would I, as a libertarian, knowing that all this crap is just so manufactured. And they're good people, but they're just, they don't really see what's going on. This left, right, Obama, you know, thing. You know, Republicans versus. What would I have to say? Well, we'll talk about it when I come back. And then we had a thing here at the state capitol, and we'll talk about that too. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Attention RBN listeners, the freeze-dry guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Special roast hemp coffee from hempusa.org. Our coffee grows in the dense volcanic-rich soil, herbicide and pesticide-free, and in the high altitudes of Guatemala, in conditions that are ideal for natural growth of this high-quality coffee. Try our mellow cup of coffee that is ground and roasted with 25% hemp seed from Canada. With a wonderful nutty flavor that contains 18% protein, our roasters bring a unique flavor that makes this the best cup of coffee you'll ever have. Try our new special roast hemp coffee from hempusa.org and wake up your brain without the jitters. Our customers look forward to their next cup of hemp coffee. Visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608 and see if you'll change your mind about drinking coffee again. Taste the difference. Feel the difference at hempusa.org today.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, the groove is in the heart, baby. You know, and this is the kind of bumper music that the people in Prescott definitely didn't want to hear. Okay, now this is who these people are. They're probably you. You know, RBN Network audience, I bet you guys had a lot in common. You know, this is when I'm talking to this crowd, the thousands of people, it has way too high. I mean, I'm like looking down at the lights coming up, and all I saw was black. I mean, it was like talking to a black velvet curtain, you know. I couldn't see anything. So you use your imagination. Well, as I'm talking to these people, I'm pretty much imagining you guys. You know, this is, you know, let me give you a gist. Conservative. Way over there on the conservative side. You know, every other person had an American flag shirt on. You know, generally they were past middle age, okay, mature audience. I would say the average age was probably, God, it easily was in the 50s, could be even in the 60s. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of people retire up there. And so if I had to pick an average age, I'd say close to 60. Then you had, you know, it was a Republican thing. It was definitely a Republican thing. So I have to ask, I'm like, you know, I didn't ask too many questions. You know, I knew it was probably going to be a big deal. But I'm going, why'd you guys have me? You know, I finally asked, what do you want me to talk about? You know, what's my limitations? What's a, you know, they go, no, we know you'll do good. They were very nice. They were good. No, you know, we leave it up to you, man. You can do whatever. We know you'd do a good job because they had seen all my videos and stuff on my site and everything. And they go, no, we're sure that you'll get them entertained. Informed, and I go, all right, you know, but so out of respect, I mean, you didn't want to go up and go, 9/11 was an inside job, you foos, you know, so I knew that probably wouldn't go over real big, you know, so what do? You say, oh, Bush is just, Bush, Obama, what's the freaking dip? Well, I did kind of say that, but anyway, the, so the thing is that, you know, you want to show respect to them, but you want them not to shut down, close down, start throwing stuff, you know, and you kind of, you know, the people that do support what you have to say, you know, they're drowned out by, you know, the crowds of everybody else, and they're not, you know, they're not open to whatever it is that you're going to tell them where you have an overlap, where you share common ground. So where's the common ground? Now, you can watch the video. You know, it's on, I put it up on today's archive page, and it's down on the front page somewhere. It has the Revolution We Know the Truth logo and Tea Party and Prescott and me speaking and so on. So you can go watch that. But what happened was, it was a conscious effort on my part to bring these people down our path. It is important that they quit doing this left-right thing, that they quit saying it's us versus them as if us was any better than them. Okay, I'm going, you know, can we not? So I do the ring of power thing and the little history about the Constitution and what it was really about and the anti-federalists and, you know, arguing and, you know, the Constitution is all about the power but the Bill of Rights, you know, is what's supposed to chain them down. And when does this contract become null and void when they screw us and violate the Constitution, the Bill of Rights every single day? When does that happen? You know, and the revolution's in your mind and yada, yada, 20 minutes, okay, just going on. Talking about my ties to Prescott, you know, I just became a grandfather, you know, all this stuff, you know, goes into this. So it was well received. I mean, people enjoyed themselves. You know, I get a little bit animated towards the end and, you know, yeehaw. And, you know, build up to the point that, you know, I'm a libertarian. You think I see a difference between the Bush administration and Obama? Heck, they didn't hardly change anything. You know, so I'm going, you know, come on, wake up, man, in a nice way. So it has an impact. I get done. You know, they're all, you know, great and wonderful. Now think about it. You know, you got a bunch of elected officials that spoke before me, you know, in the first memorial part of it, because this was a memorial to honor the people that sacrificed for, you know, that kind of deal. So when I get up and, you know, I start doing the presentation of the speakers, you know, lead that off, well, you know, by then they've already got, you know, the meaning and the flavor of this whole event already locked in. You know, they're ready to go. I'm either going to support it, I'm firm, or I'm against them. All right. So I navigated that pretty well. After I get done, you know, legislators and so on, they come up, oh, yeah, it was great, and Ernie, you know, and, you know, whatever, and, you know, I have a legislator comes up, one of them, and he says, Yeah, we're working hard to, you know, you're right, and we're trying to get government less and lower, you know, in the budget, and we got it and whatever. And I know these guys, and I'm like, save it, man. Who do you think you're talking to? You know, and then you'd be nice and so on, but I'm just like, oh, no. Then at the gun show yesterday, the same thing, people getting signatures and so on. Oh, yeah, we're really sorry about this one thing. We wish we could work together better. And, you know, I tried behind, and I'm going, who do you think you're talking to? You know, save it. And I'm just stop. You know, just quit whizzing on my back and tell me it's raining, man. You know, I'm. You know, stop. So well, maybe we'll play. You know, just the last few minutes of my speech, just so you can get the flavor. But you know, the thing that I wanted you to come away with is that I was right in the middle of it. Then the next day, here at the Phoenix Capitol and in Washington D.C. you had a representation of the same kind of people massing by the millions all across the country. This is, you have to be looking, if you're supporting socialism or the left or whatever, you have to be looking at this going, damn, 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 what do we do now? And a lot of people don't even know Obama had some kind of counter, you know, revolution to this thing going on somewhere. I don't remember where it was, Midwest somewhere. They had, you know, all the supporters for we need healthcare kind of stuff. Now that paled in significance. So did a lot of people bring guns? Yes, they did. Here in Arizona, you know, it's just, it's like minimum requirement now, you know. And who set that off? You know, Chris, the black man with the AR-15. Oh, and he's in studio right now. Went to the thing Saturday, and he'll tell you what happened and how he was received there. Little surprise for you. Extra bonus in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Again, on Declare Your Independence, me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, 11 a.m., 1 p.m. on the RBN Network here in Phoenix, Arizona, from FreedomsPhoenix.com studios. Freedoms with an S. Now, we had a lot of good fun this weekend, and we had a lot of people in the workshop making a lot of DVDs, making signs, doing all kinds of stuff, and, you know, I didn't even keep track. I mean, there's people buzzing around all the time. Chris, Mr. AR-15 Chris, you know, Black Chris, whatever Chris you want to call, you know, they know your name now, you know. Yeah. You know, how do you say it? Broughton?
Broughton.
Broughton? Yeah, Chris Broughton. And, you know, they say they can't just say Chris anymore. Yeah, Chris Broughton, Chris Broughton, Chris Broughton, Chris Broughton, you know, because they're like, I know it, it's Chris Broughton. You know, and on Air America, Mike Malloy show I did Thursday, they said, do you know his name? I go, yeah, I know it now.
Everybody knows it now.
Well, they wanted to know what it was, and I'm like, you know.
They didn't know, wow.
Well, I don't think they really care. You know, they don't want to know, especially since, you know, it's a black man with a gun. We can't have that, and liberals talk about that. And that was another thing. You know, what really came out at the gun show, I went Sunday, and people had to that recognized me and knew who I was, they had to comment on the fact that they cropped all those pictures in the main newspapers and stuff here and around.
Oh, yeah.
They made a big deal out of evading the fact that you were black.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of people noticed that.
Yeah, no, that was a big deal. Now, let's go ahead and walk this through. I get invited to do this thing, and I find out that some of the guys that wanted me to go, they were Ron Paul revolutionary guys. And the fact that I was a, you know, Ron Paul supporter and all that came up. And the crowd, you know, I just said, you know, yeah, it started in Phoenix and yada, yada, and a big part of that. And they were like, now they're not ready to do this because these are traditional party Republicans. We have our social club. It's almost like a church thing. Oh, yeah, lots of prayers. There are probably at least three prayers there, you know, during the thing. You got an opening prayer, closing prayer, you know, guy speaking with a prayer. I mean, it was, you know, that's that kind of thing. You know, Pledge of Allegiance, you know, Star Spangled Banner. You know, I'm a big Star Spangled Banner fan. You know, I'm good with that. I don't have a problem with that. This Pledge of Allegiance thing, now, I even said something about my speech, man. I will not pledge allegiance to a tyrannical, I mean, you know, no. So this is, I made myself clear, but it was, you know, I was nice. What happens, though, is that it isolates the event from others. You didn't hear one little word about, you know, 9/11 was an inside job. No, you didn't hear that, okay? 9/11 was not when, you know, but what we do is we made hundreds. I think we probably took up at least 300-400, and we could have done, you know, 3,000. I mean, people were just begging for these DVDs. We had the Obama Deception double feature with America from Freedom to Fascism. You know, that's my current favorite right now. You know, that combination, you get both of them and both of them, that'll you know, do them up. So we get that passed out, and that'll start to have an effect. You know, you'll create a little core of whatever. You know, I'll start hearing it from my sister. You know, the people, they had us go to lunch. I mean, dinner after the event. We went with some people, and they wanted to, you know, meet and talk and so on. And his wife, a couple, and they had two little children, they ran as write-ins for city council just on the camera fraud thing. They went photo rated in. Oh, heck no. They made a big stinking deal out of this. And they didn't care about running, you know, to get elected. They just write in. They didn't care. But they just, you know, hammered all the talk radio, went to all the city council meetings, just going on. And then they go, we have to get video cameras. They didn't anticipate. We had no idea that you'll have the sheriff and the police chief and all these guys will come up and they'll intimidate you and chest butt you and lie to you. And they go, wow. And I go, these are the kind of people that are running everything. You know, these positions of power, these shiny badges attract exactly these kind of people. In fact, the powers that be need these kinds of people in. They're bad. They're, oh my goodness, you have such a responsibility at the very least to know how bad they are. Whether you want to replace them or not, I mean, that's what I just ignore them. But, you know, I'm telling you, this is bad. So there's an awakening going on across the entire country. And the power to do DVDs doesn't suck. I mean, we used to dream of the ability to be able to hand somebody a video cassette, you know, back in. They even used to have video cassettes that were, like, disposable. They were made of styrofoam. You know, they're mass-produced, and they cost, like, 30, 40 cents, you know, and you'd tape them, and then you do it, and you mail. You could send a VHS videotape in the mail for under $1 a piece, you know, but it's a lot to produce them. I mean, you had to do it yourself. But we didn't have that capacity. So now we have these DVD duplicators. We can make 400 or 500 DVDs an hour. I mean, we rock and roll. It's just saying, you know, send us DVDs. We turn them into movies. And we have some big giant something going on like we did this weekend. We did it. Well, we didn't make the tens of thousands like we did for ASU and Obama coming and all that kind of stuff. But we did thousands. I mean, we had plenty, you know. Plus all these events, we keep giving them out all the time. They're going, okay, man, I got three, you know, I'm good. But but we have, you know, a lot of new people. And that's why we wanted to go to Prescott. So we do this. Jet and Mike Duggar went up there, stayed at his mother's house, chilling. Andrew and Gwen are celebrating their anniversary. Went up there, had a good time over the weekend. I got to visit my family. It's just a good thing. We go up, pass out all the stuff, do my half-hour spiel. You know, woo-hoo, everybody's happy. Go to dinner, leave. It's all good. Next day, spend with the family, doing a bunch of different stuff. I didn't go down to the state capitol because it is AstroTurf. This thing is so organized by so many, you know, it's the Republic. They want to find a big giant parade and then jump in front of it. So, you know, is it fair to say that? Yeah, but I mean, you know, like the left acts like they don't do that. Of course they do. I mean, this whole thing is just to manage which corner they get on yelling at each other. You know, left, right, left, right. And in the speech, I told him, I said, look, you go high enough on the pyramid, it's the same people controlling both sides. I mean, we know this, right? You know, and they were very supportive of that statement, so I think they get it, too. But they don't know what else to do. They just don't know. You know what? You can go to Freedom's Phoenix, that's what, you know. Just, you know, share the information. So then a lot of people encouraged me to go down Saturday, but I know what it was going to be. It was just going to be this rhetoric about, you know, now it's the Republicans' turn to wear the ring. You know, the Democrats are doing their bad and evil and whatever. And what this whole distraction, I keep hammering this in, they're going to pass some kind of new bucket of money that they're taking from you for this health care thing. It's just an excuse. It's just how they're going to divvy it up, how they're going to get it from you, how they're going to promise whatever. I mean, way, way before you ever get any benefits, they're going to start taking the money. How long do you think it's going to be before you get a benefit? You know, and then it's going to be bad whatever you're going to get anyway. So, I mean, this is just a bank robbery. That's nothing more. That's all they want. So I go, all right. So they're going to do bank robbery on us again. I know nothing about what, other than the pictures I saw in videos of, you know, millions of people going across the country to these things. I have no idea, you know, what, how it was portrayed, what was going on. We had Chris come by this morning, do some work. He wanted to know whatever he's doing. I don't care. So he comes in. And I say, Chris, did you go to the thing Saturday? He goes, yeah. And I go, okay, come on in, man. Let's talk about it. You know, so let's talk about it. Chris, tell me everything that happened Saturday. You got up and brushed your teeth, I imagine, and then?
Yeah, I didn't get much sleep, so I was kind of walking around like a zombie, but I just was carrying a petition for camera fraud and one for the Constitution Party of Arizona.
And camera fraud is the do away with the video surveillance thing, and Constitution Party, you're a Constitution Party guy?
I think...
Get them on the ballot.
I'd like to see the fight between the Libertarians and the Constitution Party.
Yeah, get you ready to rumble. You know, we have a lot in common. Well, Chuck Baldwin, you know, writes for Freedom's Phoenix, you know, and okay. He was the Constitution Party presidential candidate. So Chuck and I know each other well. We're fine. So we work. I don't even care. I mean, if you're off your butt off the couch doing something, then you know you're my buddy anyway. I don't care. Go do something. So Constitution Party, we've worked with them quite a bit. So I don't have a problem with that. So. You have you're out there. How many people were there?
Oh, I'm terrible at estimating that one, but probably at least several thousand. I would say.
It was a crowd. It filled up everything down there.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so
oh,
you're
yeah.
probably if you're filling it up down there by the Capitol, it was pretty full between
yeah,
all the buildings.
Yeah, the whole area.
So you're probably at
full.
Least 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000. Okay, so you got a lot of people there. I mean, if you got Prescott, you got 3,000. You know,
yeah,
I would imagine
yeah.
you know Saturday you got at least twice that many down here. So I'm going, okay, so now you have all these people. Were there anybody chose that were inspired to wear a firearm?
Yeah, it's amazing, considering there was maybe zero at the last one, and now there's like 30 at least maybe at this one this weekend.
You know, and you really set the bar high when you do what you did. Because what happened was, I talked to, you know, we've had on the show before Alan Corwin, who writes a lot of gun books and did a lot of research on Supreme Court cases and all this stuff. And every gun show, he has a table right when you walk in. Okay, and he has all his books out and such, and he's talking to people about the laws that got changed and the updates this year and all kinds of stuff. And what he was saying is that there is an event called, they're calling it an open carry dinner banquet or something like that. And it's the, you know what the group I'm talking about is? They're having,
I can't remember whether it's AZCDL or ArizonaShooters.com.
Well, the ACCDL, it's like Arizona's Constitutional Defense League or something like that. And that and that's Charles Heller, another talk show host in Tucson. Citizens Defense League. And he's a good friend of mine, and they really lobby the legislature a lot. Because whenever they come up with some kind of gun control thing, bam! Bam! Upside the head. I mean, we are not letting these guys get away with this stuff anymore. So they're NRA, get them freaking out of our state. They are the biggest waste of time. Oh, they are just, they're part of they're national Republican apologists. They don't even have lobbyists here in Arizona. You know, they have like Arizona State Rifle and Pistol, which is kind of like their local affiliate. And Atlantis Aiden, you know, I work with them a lot, and I'm friends with these guys since the early 90s. And I know them, and we just look, they start their, I go, who are you talking to? You want me to tell you the 5 billion things I know you guys have compromised on to get past some whatever developer funds you do? What, don't even start with me, okay? So, NRA, stay away. Arizona, go ahead and bring your convention down here. We have some fun. So, so the thing is that the NRA knows not to screw with us, all right? And the reason was, and they would join the, you know, we got to go get Safe and Ernie and all these guys because they, you know, they're making us look bad. Damn, Skippy, you guys deserve it. So they'll create gun control legislation so that they can be against it. I'm serious. It is that bad. I mean, it's that bad. So what happens is, you know, Guns of America does better. Jews for Preservation of Firearms Ownership, JPFO, Aaron Zellman's group is no compromise. They do good. We had Libertarian Second Amendment Caucus, and then we had, SAFE. Second Amendment is for everyone. So we're all up on this Second Amendment thing we got going on. Well, Alan writes all these books and such. Well, he's going to these events, and they've invited you to come. They want to give you like an honorary, you know, crown or something, right?
I haven't contacted anyone yet, but yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I'm gonna have to.
Well, Alan said that you returned his call. He wants you to talk to him. You know, please call him back. You know, he wants to talk to you about, because what they're having all these different events. You know, Chris is a rock star. You know, they want him to come, you know, be a hero and give him all kinds of goodies. Well, they have this event next week or a week after, or soon, in the East Valley, and he's like, Ernie, you got to go. We're going to have 250 gun owners carrying openly at a dinner, and they're yada, yada, yada. I'm going, like, that's a big thing. And I'm going, well, of course, when you got 250 of your friends that you worked out previously, you're going to be that, you know, a private event. You contracted to be able to carry firearms. It's legal. You're going there. You got 250 guys. Yeah, of course, nobody's going to mess with you. You know, it's when it's the one guy at a presidential event. That's when it counts.
12.
You know, well, you know. One guy had an AR.
Let's not forget the other guys.
So this kind of thing is, I'm going, you know, you guys are really, man, you're a day late and a dollar short. Now, I understand. I'm glad they're doing this, and but it set the bar higher. So, you know, Alan's talked to me like I was. Well, you know, this did this and that. I go, hey, Alan, man, I was there. So the thing is that it has so set the standard, and it has done so not just in Arizona but across the country. So when you have these Tea Parties kind of stuff, you know, and that's where the left, they're really starting to worry about this, because, you know, all of a sudden now these people, they don't want us stealing from them, and they got guns.
Exactly.
What the heck do we do now? You know, so you have 30 people there with guns. Or that you saw. I mean, you know, Lord knows how many.
Yeah, I saw. I wasn't really roaming around too much, and I didn't hear
concealed
anything.
Concealed carry, man. That's what concealed is. You don't know. So you got all these people with firearms. Was that even an issue? Did anybody even care?
Nah, not a single hitch. No problems at all.
Yeah, I bet they don't even report it. They don't want to amp this up anymore. You check the papers. They're like, you know, gathering what? We don't even know what you're talking about. You know, local paper, very liberal. All media is. They so suck. Media, the lamestream media, the media so last century.
That's where they're kicking our butts, is they got the media and they got the schools, colleges.
But they have to spend so much time and effort and resources and money to maintain even the ground that they got, and they're losing it anyway. It's so over. I can see it. It's like a rotting carcass sitting over there. It's a dying dinosaur that's coughing up blood. You know, you just want to stay out of the way of the tail. You say, oh, I'll just stand over here for a little while. It'll rot on its own. And it will. You know, this is how this history. You know, it's why they call it revolution. It just keeps going round and round and round. It just keeps coming around. We're at that point again. Now, when we come back, I want to get some more details about, you know, what the speakers were talking about. Who was in charge? What was the function? Who did this thing? You know, because you'll see in all the reports and everything, it's all the same faces and names that you've known in the Republican. You see this parade and they're jumping in front of it. They're going, yes, we shall lead you into the promised land. The promised land that we raped and pillaged in the last 8 years. But, you know, we'll be in charge of the ring now. We'll have the lever. And gosh darn it, you'll have your guys, and the elephants shall rule again. You know, and really, seriously, this is what's going on. How do you combat that? Should you combat it? Do you participate in it? You make fun of it? What do you do? Now, you see, it's so complex that you're so much easier just focusing on what I have learned to be the most effective thing. How many minds can you free? And how do you do that? With just the truth. We know the truth. That logo that we have, we know the truth, with the revolution logo and stuff, that upsets more people than it really surprised me. You know, they go, well, yo, what's the truth? Oh, do you even care? You know, it's a subjective thing. I didn't get my bullet points yet. Somebody's going to tell me the truth. I'll let you know after I watch Fox tonight. I mean, you know, I'm like, wow, these guys are killing me. So what do I want you to do? I just want you to know that there is a truth. There is a truth. What is it? Well, I don't know. That's what we'll talk about. You know, that's what we do on this show. Let's go ahead and talk about truth. What is the truth? I'll tell you one thing, and I was willing to say it. Last night I go, you know, any financial value, financial, you know, here it is. I go, all right, real simple. Sell all your stocks, buy silver. I mean, if I had to just give one kind of thing, you know, sell, buy silver. But you can't. I'll talk to you about that, too. My brother-in-law, he's freaking out because he's kind of a government employee, a contractor for the Navy, redoing the submarines after they come in. And he can't sell his stuff. He's screwed. He knows he can't get out of it fast enough. He could you know, divert stuff in different places and so on. But, you know, a lot of people are going to get hurt. You have to start right now getting your money somewhere else where it's going to last. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer.
To you about Prescott.
What's the question?
Probably.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here from FreedomsPhoenix.com studios in Phoenix, Arizona. And we have Jed on the board. He was up in Prescott. In the next hour, we'll talk about, you know, some of the stuff that was going on, you know, from his perspective there. And Chris here, Mr. AR-15, black man with a gun, nobody got hurt, Chris. And I wanted to ask you, you know, what were the kind of signs that you saw at the Arizona State Capitol building? I mean, you know, they were going, we want or we don't want what?
I saw a lot of, Acorn this, Acorn that.
Against Acorn.
To be honest with you, I wasn't paying much attention. I was carrying my petitions and keeping my head down on the petitions. I didn't hear one word from the stage.
So it's like, you know, they gave you a crowd and you said thank you. Sign here.
Yeah. I was there to get signatures for camera fraud. And
how did it go?
The whole thing was a little too Republican for me, so.
Well, how did that go?
I got like three sheets filled out. I think I got like two sheets for the Constitution Party, two petitions filled out.
Very cool.
I was happy with that.
Okay, well, thanks for coming in, man. You know, I appreciate it. You know, I just wanted to get kind of that perspective a little bit, you know, seeing as Chris was there, you know, standing there and what, his head's down, taking signatures. Well, you know, I wanted to ask Jet, you know, we'll go to Jet. Go ahead and tell us, you know, what was it you were doing up there? I mean, I know you're up there, you're passing out DVDs and you come to hang and just go party for the weekend. And they have a thing right there on the side of the four squares of the square. One of them's called Whiskey Row. Well, there's a reason, because it's got lots of whiskey, you know, and Jet, you know, imbibes. So how'd that go?
Well, it's kind of nice to have a tea party with a whole row of bars that have been open since the Wild West days right across the street. So, you know, if I got bored or whatever, I was able to just walk across the street. But I was really, I had less expectations. It was better than what I thought. You know, I got turned down. I handed out 50 DVDs. I got turned down once. Everybody else was very receptive, and I actually talked to people like, hey, we got the Obama deception and From Freedom to Fascism, and I was willing to answer any questions. And, you know, I thought the crowd, I can see the minds are opening up. You know, the steel trap that a lot of people have is finally opening a little bit, and they see that we're in such dire straits that they're actually being forced to reconsider other options.
You know, that is, you can really shut down that mind if you don't approach it right. I mean, think about it. If your goal is not to just make fun of the Republican Party, if your goal is not to, you know, lament the evils of the Democrats, if your goal is not to just, you know, share what you know or think you know about 9/11 and inside job this and all that other stuff, if your goal is not to do that, well, then there's a lot of things that you can do. What if your goal is just to continue them down the path of enlightenment, you know, just to ask the right questions, demand answers? So if I can kind of, you know, just keep their mind open and open it just a little bit more, I can have an enormous effect. And I'll tell you what it did. All the politicians that spoke, you know, and they did just their 2 to 5 minute little deal before I got up as part of the memorial service. And they go, yeah, I'm here. And I think, and thank you and love you a long time. And then when they started getting to the main speakers, you know, it was by then I'd already heard all their stuff. And I even said, I go, you know, I know all these guys. Yeah, I know what they say. You know, and then I know what they do. You know, I'm just, you know, ugh. So they're all bad, shiny badgers.
You know, I just wanted to say that, you know, I listen to you 10 hours a week. You know, we speak, we're friends outside of here. But, and I didn't know what to expect. It was just a coincidence that you were going up there that day. And Mike Duggar, who is a friend way longer, he was in the movement before you were. We both were inspired by your speech, so I encourage anybody that wants to go out there and listen to it.
Yeah, no, it's going to be on top of the page. I mean, you see, a lot of people that know me, you know, in politics, and they're like, they're afraid. They're, you know, there are a lot of the politicians up there, oh my goodness, what's he going to do? And what if your goal is to free minds? It makes you much more powerful. But we're going to talk about more when we come back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.